Hello and welcome to Evenings with Bebe Lynch. That was Moving Too Fast, Artful Dodger and Romana Johnson. I'm feeling weirdly perky this evening. I've got to say, that's never good news. I'm really excited about tonight's show. We've got fantastic music, brilliant guests and some great upload content. I'm here with you till 10. Shall we do it? Duran Duran and Ordinary World. Last night I was on Facebook and someone posted a video of John Taylor, the bassist of Duran Duran, giving a masterclass, and he's so handsome. I'd like to ring John Taylor just to tell him how handsome he is, and I'm not sure if is that stalkerish? I don't know. I think he deserves to know that he's still really beautiful. How are you? Day 2001 in the Big BB house. The thing I'm doing now, I don't know why I'm doing it, we're talking to John Taylor, I'm going through photos of me when I was young and firm, and it's just such a depressing thing to do, isn't it? But I am obsessed with face yoga. I'm not sure I talked about that last week. I'm obsessed with face yoga. It's my new, lockdown, people are baking, learning languages, writing their novel. I'm just trying to get cheekbones. So I'm just pretty much gurning every day at home. It's a sight to see. We won't be talking about that today, though, because no one cares. What we will be talking about is, I love this. Tony Finnamore is founder of the Social Society, and Tony's going to be here talking about a really lovely project they have called the Letters of Love. We'll tell you all about that in a minute. My friend Pete Gallagher will be suffering Beebe's, not Pete's. He's even got his own personal playlist, Beebe's personal playlist. And in a few minutes, best-selling author Kate Moss OBE will be here joining us to talk about her lockdown. It's going to be a great show, so please stay with us. Taylor Swift, the man. Our next guest, I'm so thrilled we have our next guest with us. Kate Moss is the author of 8 novels and short story collections, including Labyrinth and The Burning Chambers. She has sold 8 million copies of her books worldwide. And in 2013, she was awarded an OBE for services to literature and women. Kate, hello.
Hello, Bebe. How are you?
Oh, you never ask me that question.
Oh, okay, all right. In which case, hello.
Hi. How are you?
Very well, really. I mean, these are strange times for everybody. But obviously, being a novelist, I spend a lot of my time on my own in my room looking at a screen. My life isn't quite as different as some people's lives, I suspect.
What's the really silly thing that you're doing to yourself? So I'm looking at photos of me when I was young. and perky. Are you doing anything against yourself?
Well, funnily enough, I mean, I think it's this sense of, because everybody's at home, of having time to do things that you have never quite got round to doing.
Yeah.
And like you, I've kind of done a spring clean of my computer, excuse me, and have been looking at lots of old photographs. And that's been rather lovely, actually, just sort of getting all these things that you always promised that you'd sort of organise one day and finally doing it.
Has it, when you were saying earlier that, actually you're kind of used to this, you're used to being at home and kind of, so isolation, as a writer is no real kind of strange thing to you, but this is different. Has it, I mean, where are you in your lockdown journey, if I can say that? Oh, you've got...
Yes, exactly. As always, the minute you do a live radio show, you obviously get a frog in your throat.
I'll sing. You do that, and I'll sing. What can I sing? What I will tell people is why you have a little drink. We had the pleasure of interviewing Kate for the Whip series, and which is on BBC Sounds, and it's like women who are hot, intelligent, and in their prime. So of course we got Kate, and we met Kate at Chichester Festival Theatre.
Yes.
And it was so, I think you were our first interviewee, actually.
Aww. Yes, exactly. I can assure you, I don't look so hot at the moment, like all of us. I mean, that's the biggest thing, isn't it? Sort of the horror of Zoom and the sort of lack of hair maintenance, shall we say, all of these things. I mean, no, I mean, really, I think where I am is I was supposed to be, now I would be on a plane starting the promotion for my latest novel, City of Tears. But that now, the novel has been postponed publication until January. And I would be working with my wonderful company at Chichester Festival Theatre for my first major play, which was to be on in September, The Taxidermist's Daughter, which is my Chichester and Fishbourne novel, my local gothic thriller. And that is now postponed till next year, to 2021. But, you know, on the scale of things, these are of anybody who is not doing, whether it's getting married or being at a christening or a piece of work or whatever, of course, these things are very disappointing for all of us, but they are nothing compared to what some people are going through. Yeah. So I think it's just really important, if you like, that you just kind of pull your socks up. And so all it's meaning is that last year, as you know, I spent all of last year working in order to be out and about this year. And it just means that I have no excuse in the entire universe for my next book being late, sadly. So I've just had to get on, you know, just carrying on working. And that's absolutely fine. And, you know, I'm very, very, very lucky that my work is basically at home anyway. So, you know, for many people, it's incredibly difficult trying to keep motivated, you know, work from home when actually part of being in an office or with other people is so important.
Yeah.
And of course, all of our incredible key workers who are going to work, whether it's, you know, working in a school for key workers' children or working in a hospital or whatever. So I think it's just important to keep a perspective, isn't it? You know,
Can you give us a little bit about your book?
Well, the City of Tears is the second in my Burning Chambers series. And of course, it's a forbidden love, a story of forbidden love between a Catholic girl and a Protestant boy. But really, what's so extraordinary, given what we're going through, it's a story about what happens to normal people, to people like us, when massive history, you get caught up in the great big wheels of history.
Right.
And actually, for the first time for me as a writer, we are all at that moment. We know we're living through history, whereas usually you don't. And that's what's extraordinary, I think. So, you know, the City of Tears is about my family, and they go to Paris and they are caught up in the famous massacre, the St. Bartholomew's Day massacre in 1572. And they flee to Amsterdam and have to build a new life there. But, you know, the people in the past who are pursuing them are still on their tail. So it's, you know, it's an adventure story. It's a story of missing relics. And weirdest of all, when I was writing the book, I always have a sense of the book, but I don't quite know what the story is going to be. And it's actually a missing child story. And that really surprised me when that element came into it. You know, what would it feel like to be caught up in some terrible moment in history and your child to go missing and never know what happened?
So this is the first book that you haven't, I mean, I've never written a novel, so you haven't kind of structured it or timelined it, do you mean you're just letting this
happen?
No, I
always write like that. So I do huge amounts of research. This whole series, four books, cover 300 years of history, halfway across the globe, from France to Amsterdam to the Canary Islands for book three, and then to South Africa, and to the winelands of South Africa in the 19th century. And I do a huge amount of research. I know all the dates that all the real battles happened, all the real marriages happened, all of that. But then once I've got my research, it's like building a stage set, if you like. I kind of put my characters on the stage and go, oh, well, off you go. Let's see where this story takes us. So I've always written like that. And people find that hard because my books are really long. They assume that I plan every chapter.
Yeah.
But the first draft is all emotion. It's me just going, okay, let's see where these characters take us. And then, of course, I go back with my other drafts and make sense of it and go, you know, that doesn't work and this doesn't work. But I think anybody who's listening who is writing or wanting to write and using this lockdown time to maybe pick up their pen for the first time, and, you know, I really hope that we'll get some new writers out of lockdown, you know, trust your instincts. Let the emotion, let the joy of writing drive you forward. You can go back and put it right and make it all make sense, you know. You can polish it up afterwards, but just get your story out. And that's how I've always written.
I love that. That just feels so brave to me, but also so liberating. What a way to do
totally.
It. You've been having the COVID dreams? The really like, multicolour, just everything's happening dreams.
Well, that is, I have not, I'm normally quite a good sleeper. I haven't been sleeping very well. Even though I feel pretty rested, actually, you know, because I'm not charging about and all of these things. But you are right. I have been dreaming a lot more than I normally do. When I'm writing in particular, I sleep very deeply and in black, if you like. You know, I go to bed, I sleep, and always I'm thinking about my characters and the story. And I don't have other thoughts and dreams that tend to come to me. It's a very interesting thing that at the moment I'm dreaming quite a lot. And my mother-in-law, the famous Granny Rosie, who many of your listeners would have heard last week, my brilliant mother-in-law, who's nearly 90 and playing and entertaining our neighbours and the nation now, she is having those vivid dreams. And the other morning when I got her up in the morning, she said, you know, I had this dream about this picnic I was eating. And she said, when I just woke up just now, she said, I've been looking for the cheese. And she said, I've only just realized. I thought, oh my God, I hope there isn't any cheese here. But that's it. She's certainly been having those dreams so, so real that she genuinely, when she's woken up, have thought, you know, where is the picnic? You know, whatever. It's brilliant. She said, I was looking for the apple. I couldn't find the cheese. I said, what type of cheese? She said, it was Baby Bell. So it was really particular.
That's so, specific. Yeah. Do you think,
it's so specific.
Do you think your writing during this time would have been affected by this time?
I think it will be, because I think all of us, whatever our situations, and I particularly am thinking of all the parents who are trying to work from home and look after their children and give their children some kind of education. They maybe can't see their grandparents or people who, you know, all of this. Mm. I'm in a very lucky position. You know, my children are grown up and they're fine, and Granny Rosie's here and I care for her anyway. So my day to day hasn't changed as much. But I think that every single one of us will be changed by this. Some of it will be absolutely for the better. The, you know, community spirit where I live in Chichester, people, everybody saying hello across a field if you're walking socially distanced. That sense of a lot of people being out doing exercise for that 1 hour a day, you know, it therefore becomes more important. You don't put it off because, you know, this is your moment to be outside in the sunshine and all of these things. And the lack of pollution, the peacefulness, hearing the birds properly, not over the roar of traffic, you know, all of these things. And I think for many of us, we will find some of the things about the world returning to a different type of normal will be quite, it will feel a sense of loss as well. Yeah. So loss for the world that there was, but also some of these things are improvements on, you know, on where things, you know, you look and you see the streams are clean. You see those pictures of the canals in Venice, the fact that that Everest can be seen and the Himalayas can be seen from India for the first time in 30 years. So I think we'll all be looking at what of this experience we take with us as things gradually go back to the status quo ante, and what things kind of we forget about the minute it's over. And I think a lot of us, you know, want to try to make something good come out of it, you know.
I loved what you said about that we're in the middle of history. And do you know, it's the first time that's been articulated to me. So I was like, yeah, of course we are. I mean, and that, you know, almost makes it more bearable, doesn't it? Because I think there's been a lot of railing against it for me. And then I'm like, actually, you know what? I'm in this. We're all in this.
No, that's right. And, you know, and it's obviously because, as you know, I was, you know, carer for my father as well in the past. And so I spend a lot of time with people of a different generation. And my father fought in the war. My mother, who's also sadly gone, was a young person in the war, as was Granny Rosie. She remembers on VE Day, being in Chichester, getting on her bicycle, her utility bicycle in Appledram, which is a little village outside Chai, and cycling to the cross and being there in order to be part of that moment on VE Day. And everybody's always understood, I think, is why the war's always being cited, often inappropriately, by people who've got no right to make comparisons about it. But people understood that everybody was involved in the war. Everybody's not in it together. Some people have a better time than others, and that's always the case. But people knew that they were living through something. And our generation, my generation, we haven't really had that, where the whole world has been involved in a shared story. And that is, it is the most extraordinary thing. And our children's children will say, oh, were you alive then? You know, it will be that moment of kind of awe that we were alive during these extraordinary days. And you know what I'm like. I try to find a positive thing if I can. It's not that, you know, you don't have off days, but you know, often meeting misfortune halfway with a smile on your face can make it a little bit more bearable if you're in a position to do that. And I think, you know, yeah, this is history, and you know, as a historical writer, it's just a really interesting reminder of, you know, when I go back to my writing, my characters, they don't know they're living through history until suddenly the war has broken out, and then they're in it. And that's always what I've tried to capture. And now, of course, having the experience ourselves.
You can't not. You've got no choice.
That's the thing about history. You haven't got a choice. You know, when something like this is happening, you can't decide that you're not going to be involved. It is, everybody's involved, and these things are very rare nowadays.
I'm totally writing this down, Kate Moss, because this is going to get me through some of this. Remind us again when your book will be out then.
Well, The City of Tears, it's called, and it comes out in January. Yeah. However, you can order it now. Ooh. And only if you want to, obviously. The reason that I encourage people to order it now is that our independent bookshops are struggling. And there are some incredible independent bookshops in Hove and in Petersfield and all over our region in Surrey and Sussex. And it makes a great deal of difference to the indies if we order direct from them now. So, you know, if you're going to buy it in January and, you know, buy it on Amazon, then good luck to you. But if you want to order it now and support your local independent bookshop, then do so. So it's, yeah, but it actually, it won't be in your hands till January 2021.
But do it anyway.
Or my hands, indeed. Yeah, do it anyway. Yeah, absolutely.
It's so lovely to hear you. Best of luck with everything. And I remember when you really make me laugh, Granny Rosie was always that gin o'clock. It's always gin o'clock somewhere, isn't it?
She always says, well, the sun is over the yardarm somewhere. and that is the mantra by which Granny Rosie lives. But there is, you know, I am quite strict. I do have a 12 o'clock.
Like, you know, let it go, like, Kate. But, let it go.
Yeah, no.
These
are trying times. Yes, absolutely. And then we go round, you know, in the afternoon, we walk round the block, and that is the joy, because it's possible to take Granny out. She's nearly 90, so obviously got to be very careful, and we've completely socially isolated here. However, in this amazing weather, we can go out in the wheelchair in the afternoon, and people keep well away and all the rest of it. And actually, that's been a lovely thing. A lot of older people able to go out for their walk, and because there are no cars, and they could walk in the middle of the road, and actually the road is so much more safe than the pavement. This is kind of how we're rolling it, and then the gin and tonic when we're back. So you've got to do your exercise first. This is the key.
Okay, I understand.
You have to earn your gin.
I understand
and tonic,
how
yes.
your brain works. Okay,
that's how my brain works. It's carrot and stick.
Take lots of care to both of you, and thank you so much for joining us.
It's lovely to talk to you, Bibi, and look after yourself.
And you, take care, Kate. Let's take a look at the weather. Tonight will be dry with variable cloud cover. Winds will ease during the night, and it will become chilly with a slight chance for frost in rural areas. Minimum temperature 1 degree Celsius, that's 34 degrees Fahrenheit. Primal Scream and Rocks. Don't know why that's making me laugh. How are you doing? Kate Moss, brilliant. I do want a little gin now, though. You know, everywhere I work, I always insist on a mini bar. And yet that's never come good. No one's ever done that for me. And, you know, I'm a lovely employee. I do deserve something. So thank you for joining us tonight. We're with you till 10. Later on, we've got Bibi's playlist. I don't know why my friends love stroke/ loved ones agree to do it, but they do come on, and they are gifted the gift of music by me quite generously, too generously probably. Coming up now, I mentioned this at the top of the show, and I really love this idea. There's Well, let Tony tell you all. Hi, Tony. How are you?
Hello, I'm very well. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for joining us. This is the voice of Tony Finnemore and founder of the Social Society. What's the Social Society?
That's right. Yeah. So we're a community of people, really, a membership organisation. We volunteer for charities. So we raise funds with our membership fees and sort of give time, skills and expertise to charities when they need it most, as well as run fun events as well to connect people and reduce isolation.
Oh, that, yeah. So I loved your like tagline, social club for social good. That's really lovely.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Letters of love.
Yes.
I know already I want to sing it.
I know.
That's what we could have played, some Elvis love letters.
I know.
So the Social Society launched Letters of Love. Tell us what Letters of Love is.
Yeah, it's been really overwhelming. We started it a few weeks back now. We realised we run events, like I say, to sort of connect people, and obviously with this COVID-19 and the pandemic, that we realized that there's so many people that we were unable to reach via, in particular via social media, and a friend of mine, we were talking one night saying, actually, how can we make sure that people don't feel isolated, and they have, especially those without family or a support network around them, how do we reach them and just say, look, we're thinking of you, you're not alone. And we came up with letters, letters with love. So that's how it came about.
And it's, so I could write a letter to someone and you would take it to them. Yeah. So how does it work? So would you get the background to someone and tell me about them, and then I would write something personal?
It's interesting. So there are two ways as it stands at the moment. So there's a template on our website. So if you go onto our website, you can download a Letters with Love template. So you can write it, and locally, wherever you are, we've had some from London, Newcastle, all over. You write it and you post it to somebody in either in your street or your local community that you know is isolating and that doesn't have a support network, or people have been posting them to myself. And then I have been sending them on to people in housing the people that are in care homes, key workers, etc. That's kind of, there's two ways. That's how we've been doing it so far.
And what kind of stuff have people been saying in the letters?
They're just brilliant.
Like what?
They're just brilliant. It's just, we've had children as well in particular. A couple of schools in London. Yeah, just drawing lots of pictures saying, you know, what are you doing? I'm playing on my bike, and please hang on in there, and telling them all their stories. And really, really interestingly, just before I jumped on with you at the show, I've had a phone call from a 94-year-old man just to say, I've received two letters of love so far, and I want to thank you. If it's okay with you, can I start writing? It's really, you know, and so he's going to start writing to me. It's beautiful, honestly, so nice.
That's so amazing. So do people? Yeah,
I know.
It must just make people's day. Weeks.
Yeah. It, and again, like I say, especially some of the letters and the postcards that we've had from the children, they really do make you smile. We've had writers on board, you know, poetry sent out. And again, like I said at the beginning, it's just a really nice way of saying, do you know what? Things are really tough right now, but we're thinking of you. You know, we're here. Keep going, I guess.
And do the people, so apart from the man that's just got in touch with you and is going to keep communicating with you, do the recipients of the cards or letters keep in touch with their pen pal now?
Some do, some don't. So interestingly, some have just sent one off, like I say, poem or a story. Others have actually signed off by saying, look, if you need to talk or you want to sort of write back, then here's my address and here's my number. If you need anything, then just shout. So, which is also nice. Yeah. So some people have.
It really is such a gorgeous idea. And it's so simple, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just going back to the heart of it, I think. It's just the simplest things, isn't it, I guess.
I have a memory box with most of the letters ever sent to me.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
That's how important letters
are.
I've got
one, actually.
Have you?
They are. Yeah, from like really like years and years and years ago. Oh, I'm making myself sound old. But yeah, it's nice to get it out and have a little look, isn't it, now and again.
Don't do it with a glass of wine. It'll make you upset.
Oh, no, exactly. I know, right? But I think there's something really nice, isn't there, about getting that handwritten letter on the doorstep. It's exciting as well.
Yeah.
Not knowing what's inside. And yeah, just that.
Do you know
love.
The issue I'd have with this? I can't write anymore. My handwriting's so bad now because I've typed for 30 years. Can I type my letter?
You can type your letter. We've had lots of people type, so you're safe. You can type. But actually, it's true. Actually, this lovely, lovely, lovely gentleman has just said it will really help him actually get back to writing because he just said, I don't use my hands anymore as much as I should. Yeah. And I found that I've written quite a few as part of this campaign, just to lots of different people. And yeah, it's difficult when you sit on a laptop all day, isn't it, hey?
It's such a lovely idea. How can people get involved?
Yeah, so they can go to the website. So that's thesocialsociety.org.uk. And if they jump onto the campaigns page, they can download the template there and they can print one out and just write one and send it off.
I'm going to do one. Do people have a choice? Not a choice, like you're not going to say, no, I'm not going to write to that person. But do you kind of matchmake it a bit? Do you say, oh, I think those two would really get on?
We can do. I have done a little bit of late, actually, just because of the families that have sent letters in and children have said, oh, I want it to go to this sort of a person. So we have started doing that, yeah.
Oh,
for my sins, I imagine. I will.
Please think of someone I can write to. I'd really love to.
Absolutely.
I'd love to do this is great.
I'll do some. I know. We'll do some letter matchmaking. If that's a thing, I'll do that. Not a problem.
Tony, thank you so much for joining us. It's such a brilliant idea.
No problem.
And best of luck
Thanks
with
for
it.
Having me.
Take care.
Thank
Bye.
You. You too. Bye-bye.
All About the Bass, and that was Megan Trainor. I don't want to say sad things, but I want to celebrate three people's lives. They don't need me celebrating them at all, but just because three really incredible talents died the last few days, and while we're at home, we've got all this time, I can just, all I'm saying is, go through all their work, just rejoice in these incredible lives. Betty Wright, the soul singer, Little Richard, oh, come on, and Jerry Stiller. Jerry Stiller died today, it's Ben Stiller's dad, and comic genius in his own right, obviously, he doesn't need to be linked to his brilliant son, Ben. Just amazing, and him and Seinfeld, oh, just too much. That's so sad, isn't it? And it's, do you know what's really weird when you kind of find out about deaths? It's on Twitter, and you're not emotionally prepared for it. I want someone to ring me up and say, are you on your own? Are you sitting down? Do you have a whiskey nearby? I don't just want to turn on, you know, open my little phone and there's recently departed who I love. Sorry to bring everyone down. Just I don't know what happened. Then I'm Bebe Lynch. This is BBC Radio, Sussex BBC Radio, sorry. Evenings. We've got coming up my brilliant friend. So we have this section called Bebe's Personal Playlist. And what we want to do is get people... Now we're at home a lot more and we're all maybe, you know, I know it's not a holiday. I'm not underplaying anything at all. But while we are at home, there are maybe some things we can do to kind of make us feel a little bit better about being at home. And music has always been my thing. And we were thinking, maybe more and more people are listening to music and compiling, you know, mixtapes of old, but playlists now. And we love this idea. And we just thought, oh, we could get people involved. And so every week I've got a friend or a loved one coming, or friends who are loved ones coming on. And I'm playing them three songs that for whatever reason make me think of them. And it could be just a reason in my bobbly little brain that for whatever reason I'm like, yeah. So later on tonight, my friend Pete's coming on, and Pete isn't just my friend, he's brilliant actor, brilliant writer, brilliant director, and West End star. He's so talented, it's actually annoying. But Pete's incredible, and Pete's going to be getting involved in the playlist, and maybe you want to get involved. You could give me a little email, bb.lynch@bbc.co.uk, and say who you'd write the playlist for, and the three songs that you choose, and why you choose them. And I'm putting good money on, if anyone did a playlist for me, they'd choose this. I remember when... Gnarls Barkley and Crazy. So tomorrow, The breakfast teams are back, 6 till 10. It's Neil Pringle on BBC Sussex Breakfast and Leslie McCabe on BBC Surrey Breakfast. And then 10 till 2, it's Sarah Gorrell. And Sarah would really love to hear from you if you've gone back to work this week, as was kind of suggested yesterday. Do you feel safe? Do you have any concerns? Employment lawyer Martin Williams will be on hand and he can answer any questions about workers' rights for you. And also, foreign travel is looking increasingly impossible. So have you started planning a staycation? I had a staycation last summer and I loved it. I discovered Hove and Brighton. Loved it. So Sarah will be talking to local hoteliers about whether they're taking bookings. Yeah, that'd be really interesting. And then Alison Ferns is on 2 till 6. And Alison's going to be celebrating the lockdown birthday of one very special Sussex resident. But I'm sorry, I can't tell you anything more. Kygo and Whitney Houston are higher love. Oh, Whitney. After the news, after 9, we will be enjoying Bibi's personal playlist with my good friend Pete Gallagher. And then at 9:30, we'll be listening to some upload tracks. And we've got some comedy, we've got a sketch. I think we've got a bit of spoken word. You must get involved with Upload. So many brilliant songs and music and plays and just poetry. And it's just a real insight into what's going on creatively right now with everyone. And there's a really lovely, I'm not going to give it away, too much of a surprise, but there's something very special as well tonight. Bobby Brown, Two Can Play That Game. Welcome to the second hour of Evenings with Bibi Lynch. Thank you for joining me tonight. And please get in touch. Text me on 81333. Start your message with the word radio, or you can call. See, now I feel giddy because so it's time for Bibi's personal playlist. I love this show, but I love this bit of the show. And I get a friend, a loved one on, and I subject them to, I mean, it's not abuse, it's gift. It's the gift of music. I'm a very, very generous woman. And tonight's guest is the delicious actor, writer, director. Are you there? West End star. Are you there? West End star.
Look at that.
Pete Gallagher.
Hello.
Hello, darling.
Hello, lovely. How are you?
It's so weird speaking to you, not seeing you. I'm good. How are you?
I'm absolutely brilliant. And all the better for hearing Bobby Brown when I tuned in, must be honest.
Yeah.
Wow.
I wrote that track, remember?
Yes, I do. Yes, and I'm on 20% of the royalties. Yeah,
oh,
let's
don't
do
remember
it.
That's interesting, isn't it? How's lockdown been?
Do you know what? I'm going to have to make a terrible confession to you.
You're loving it.
Because
you?
A little bit. I'm not going to lie. A little bit. I was because there's lots of things going on in our lives at the moment.
Yes.
And my contract
are we allowed
is
to say
to expire. Yeah.
Okay, you say it.
Okay. At the ripe old age of 153, which is what I am, I'm about to become a father again.
Oh,
okay. So, I know.
Little baby Bibi. I can't wait to meet little baby Bibi.
I know. Especially, it's going to be magnificent. Especially. No, I'm waiting.
if little baby's a boy, I'd have to call him.
Well, I'm no scientist or doctor, but I'm telling you, I looked at the x-ray, and if it's not a boy, she's in big trouble. So,
A x-ray. I'm no scientist, x-ray. So when's all that happening? When's the baby?
That's in about 3 weeks.
Oh, blimey.
So I've just done a beautiful show in London, yes, which finished, and I went, do you know what? I've saved lots of money over the last year purposefully. Yeah. So I'm going to give myself a bit of time off. Beautiful. And then a bloke came on the telly and said, right, the whole world is going to have a bit of time off. And I went, all right, fair enough. Copy.
So you're in, well, we'll talk about that in a minute. But you're okay. You're finding it okay. You're not losing your beautiful mind.
No, I'm having a nice time. The weird thing is, you know, as a writer, you'd imagine lockdown would be beautiful. I haven't written a word.
No, me neither.
Not a word. No. However, I've painted everything that stands still. I've built cupboards. What's that about?
Well, I know
who
you're
built
lying.
A cupboard?
Not you. That's why I know you're lying.
I had pipes under a boiler, and I went, you know what? A bit of scrap wood, built myself a cupboard, hinges and everything. I'm shocked. I've shocked myself. But it's great.
Is it great? Is it great? Does
Who
it open
doesn't
the right
want
way?
A diagonally opening creaky cupboard? Who doesn't want one? With four hinges, none of which go to 90 degrees. Oh, it's magnificent.
Where do you stand on the playlist? I imagine that you, in your day, have made a few mixtapes.
I think I have, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, what are you drinking?
Sorry.
No, what is it?
Just a cheeky little cab sauv.
Is it? Oh, you've always been classy.
With
lemonade.
Lemonade, how dare you? Soda.
Just a little soda.
No, I have to do it in secret, though, because, you see, ladies who are doing what my other half is doing aren't allowed to drink alcohol. So I sneak away with it. I'm going upstairs to talk to BB.
And I need a drink.
Yeah, pass me that bottle.
And I need a drink to get through that.
Absolutely.
What was I asking? Oh, yeah, would you do the mixtape back in the day?
I did enjoy the mixtape. I was quite scared by the words, burn me a mix CD. That was quite shocking.
Yeah.
But I was very excited. I bought, do you remember the Glorious, am I allowed to say trade names?
Yeah.
Alan Michael Sugar Trading. Do you remember that company? that one. I bought a glorious one of his. And after a little while, I realized that what you could do tape to tape or record to tape, and you could fade it out with this little button. So I not only made people mixtapes, I was able to fade out and then with a microphone go, and this next one's a particular favorite of mine. And then pop that on as well, fading in. It was glorious.
You've always been an overachiever.
Bless you for that.
Well, no, I'm not saying it like I like that about you.
No.
That's my issue with you.
I equated that phrase to punching above your weight is what people usually say. But yeah, thank you.
That's my issue with you. The mixtapes, they're so personal and lovely, aren't they? It's really like, well, let's talk personal. Do you remember when we first met?
Yes.
Yes, officer. Yes, my lord.
Yes, my brief has said I'm not to say anything more than what's required.
I'm not sure how much we're allowed to say about this. So I was in a cabaret act, and we were auditioning.
Mm-hmm.
And you appeared, and you were incredibly incredibly tall, incredibly handsome, incredibly talented. Well, so we
bless
were like.
You for that.
No, we won't let him in. No, we were like, no way. No. So when was that, Pete? When was it? How long ago?
Oh, my goodness me. Do you know what? I've just found the stuff up in the loft as well, because that's one of the jobs I've been doing.
Yay.
I've just found the program from the gigs we did. When was that? That would have been 1985?
Oh, so I was 19. Yeah, I was 18, 19.
Yeah, something like that.
So it was called,
and I was 12. What?
I know. It was called Chris Gibson and the Exhibitionists, and we were.
It was indeed,
and it was actually a really great act, wasn't it? And also because at that time, the whole gay scene, the cabaret was drag acts miming, wasn't it? And we were. Singing.
It was drag miming drag acts and strip artists was basically all they had. Yeah, so it sort of didn't matter how bad we were. We were something different. So they loved us.
And we got our equity doing it.
Yes, indeed. We got a beautiful lady from the equity entries panel came and saw us in the Goldsmith's Tavern.
Are you kidding? Was that there?
No, at Vauxhall. She came and saw us there and she said, you guys are lovely. You so deserve. I remember what she said. She said, you so deserve to play places better than this. Just as the manager of the Goldsmith's Tavern was standing over the table, who said, well, thanks very much, and stormed off in a huff.
My funniest memory, when I don't know where we played. So we toured all over the UK, didn't we? And we played a venue, and I can't remember it was, but it was like a carpeted stage, and all the boys had like kind of dance shoes, and you all at one point fell off the stage. Do you remember?
Oh, man. If the whole thing was a disaster.
And
it was wonderful. It was.
Oh, I really loved it. No, I was just saying, I was a chubby little thing, but with a hairpiece.
It was, and it was a hairpiece to die for, I have to say.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I've chosen.
Absolutely magnificent.
I've chosen three songs. What was your first impression of me? Did you hate me?
I was scared of you. That girl, she never stops talking. And because I knew there wouldn't ever be a chance for me to be right.
And here we are.
Yeah,
almost 30 years later, proving that point.
Exactly.
Oh, you. I've chosen three songs. In mind, some of them aren't the songs I wanted to play that represent. Was that someone knocking on your door saying, get out?
No, not at all.
Okay. Because they weren't on the BBC playlist.
Right. So okay.
This isn't going as well as I wanted it to. But this first track, and also this first track, I'm now thinking, actually, you might not have... I'm wondering if... I'll tell you what, I'll play it, and it will make sense or it won't make sense. How about that?
Glorious. I'm looking forward to it already.
Enjoy this, please. Please, Black. Does it make sense?
You are just what they do. Yeah. It's just what I know. Of course it does.
Let's go. Yay, Mary Wilson, just what I always wanted. Hey, Pete, I'm friends with Mary Wilson now.
Stop your naughty talk.
I...
Are you really?
Yeah, and I love her so much. And it took her being on my show three times before I had the courage to tell her what we used to do to that song.
Oh, my gosh.
We mustn't say it here, but it was, what a song.
A naughty version.
It was a naughty version. Well, that's what we would do.
But you know...
What?
Do you know, sorry, I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but I'm going to forget otherwise. There's so many things in my head that I'd love to remember, and I can't. I dredge around, and I can't remember them, like where I've put the car and stuff. But ask me to remember every single lyric from a naughty rewrite of a song from 35 years ago, whatever it is, and I sang along every single lyric of that song, including the middle eight and the harmonies.
I know, the ba-ba-da-ba-ba. Oh, I love it. That was such a fun time. And do you know what?
It really was.
What I regret now is I didn't realise at the time how much fun it was. And I really need to get... Are you good at that? Are you good at being in the present and really thinking this is happening now and this is brilliant?
I tend to try and stay calm, whatever's happening. And some people like say to me, oh, that's fantastic. You just take it all in, don't you? And others get really annoyed with me because they don't think I'm reacting.
Oh.
But I take it all in and I love it. I've got such vivid memories of we went to Blackpool for quite some time. And I've got vivid memories of literally everybody we met up there, everybody. And the cabaret that the hotel owners threw for us and all sorts of stuff.
Was it the pink coconut or something like that?
It was the flamingo.
Pink flamingo.
2001 as well.
You're amazing.
And the most, you know, the most, oh my gosh, can I tell you a tiny anecdote? Because I've just remembered. One of the nights we were there, we were booked to play sort of three nights running, weren't we? And on the last night, someone else turned up and he double booked us and everyone got upset. But one of the nights we were there, he was launching the house lager. Do you remember this? Oh my goodness me. The guy who owned the club was a chap called Basil and he was launching a house lager. And tonight, that night, was going to be the grand unveiling of who had won the competition to name the lager. And he pulled a beer mat off with massive dramatic aplomb with music behind him to reveal a sort of cast iron thing on the front of the pump with proudly the winner had chosen the name Basil's Lager. Everyone was applauding. I was howling. And they were staring at me because I was being disrespectful. I was like, really? You held a competition and that's the best you could come up with. Oh, that's brilliant.
Oh, Pete.
I loved it.
That is so hilarious. Do you remember who I ended up with that night?
Oh.
Yeah. And he was on the same bill as a stripper who looks like Rod Stewart and his name was Hot Rod.
Do you know, we've got such classy pasts.
Thank
That's
you
what it
so
is.
Much. So the second song
yeah.
I wanted to play. So Pete, I'm not saying this to you because you know this. Pete is an extraordinary talent and a brilliant West End star, and I'm, you know, just so proud that he's my friend. He's just too brilliant, and was incredible in Jesus Christ Superstar. And we haven't got a track from that. We've got.
Good for
We've
you.
Got. You were also in Guys and Dolls. This is like the worst This Is Your Life you'll ever have. So here's
what?
Some Frank Sinatra and Luck Be Lady. Frank Sinatra, Luck Be Lady. That wasn't from Jesus Christ Superstar.
It wasn't even from Guys and Dolls. He played the other part in the film. I mean, the song is, but Marlon Brando played Sky in the movie, didn't he?
Oh, it? Pete, why are you?
I know.
This? Pete.
No,
this is why I don't see you.
I'd love to go for pasta with you at some point, but you're going to bore me, so, I'm not going to offer.
It's not going to happen. I would never blow on another guy's dice, would you?
Do you know what? I was listening to that thinking, that's a bit risky for 19 whenever it was written, isn't it?
2000 and whatever. So, the third track, I'm going to play it.
Uh-huh.
Going to just play a burst, and then I want you to, I just want your reaction.
Okay.
We've got some off-price crack toys, 2 miles and miles of carpet ties, TVs, deep freeze, and
daily
LPs, pool games, gold chains, what's the names, and that'll put some Trevor Francis track seats from a mush and shepherd's bush, bush, bush,
bush, bush, bush, bush, bush, bush, bush, bush,
no income tax, no V.
Magnifique.
Hey, Pete, so that was the, Only Fools was the last production you were in.
It certainly is, yeah.
And... I always do this. I was talking about three people I love who died recently earlier in the show, and now I'm going to talk about theatre must be reeling.
Yeah, it's not good. Funnily enough, a friend of mine who is, he will remain nameless, but he's a fabulous actor, just sent me a message tonight saying, you don't have anything going, mate, do you? You really don't, do you? Because the show's shut down and I don't fall into the category where they can help people. And this guy's super talented, but he's been clever enough to, you know, he's a limited company and they pay blah, 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 none of which is covered by the government. He doesn't cheat anybody. It's just his accountant said this is a much more efficient way for a self-employed person to live. So that's what he's doing. And he's now currently being punished.
I've heard of so many people in that situation. It's just so awful, isn't it?
It's dreadful,
Well, I mean, so after you have baby BB, and then when you're thinking about, and then are you planning anything after? Have you got any plans, or is there anything, are you writing, or have you kind of adjusted what you do or adapted because of what's going on right now?
Well, I'm kind of hoping that I'll be all right till the late summer. I'm not going to lie to you. I saved a lot of money last year because I knew this was going to happen. Not the coronavirus, the baby thing. I knew it was going to happen. So I put a lot of money aside and had a lot of meal deals. And I was kind of hoping to get through the summer. And then at the other side of that, if we're into panto season, I don't know if we will be, but if we're into panto season, for the last 4 or 5 years or so, I've been with Shane Ritchie as his baddie. And before that, it was John Barrowman. So if either of those shout, I will happily go into panto. And then I'm meant to be doing a couple of movies at the beginning of next year.
If it
comes off. Yeah, I met a wonderful writer and producer who's just cast me in a couple of things. And he said, if the funding comes through, we're all off to New York in the new year. So come with us and play these roles.
Oh, Pete, so, I so hope all this happens.
I really hope so too. But it's fleeting, isn't it? It comes and it goes, all this sort of stuff. And some people are flavour of the month 1 minute and then not the next. So you kind of take it with a pinch of salt. We'll see. But I'm ever the optimist,
talent,
so we'll see what happens.
Talent outs all of it. And that's your,
absolutely. Which is why they'll probably get the job and not me. Yes.
But they might recommend you. They might give you something else. Stop it. Put that drink down. You're just a drunk on air now.
talking of Hollywood stars.
I'm going to throw you off my show now. It's been so brilliant to hear your voice.
And yours. Thank you for asking me on.
Oh, absolute pleasure. So much love to you both. And
thank you.
Keep you posted on everything, and it's all really exciting. And I will see you really soon. Lots of love. Bye.
Can't wait. Bye-bye.
Oh, that was... was Pete. Let's take a look at the weather. Tomorrow, much less windy than today. So although it will be cool, it shouldn't feel as cold because heating went on today, I can't lie. Sunny spells are expected, but the afternoon looks rather cloudy and the odd isolated shower cannot be ruled out. Maximum temperature, 12 degrees Celsius, that's 54 degrees Fahrenheit. And the outlook, Wednesday will be a dry day. There will be a moderate easterly breeze and there will be sunny spells during the day. It will be a cool day. Thursday will be windy and cool, but it should be dry with sunny spells. Friday will be less windy with some sunny periods and it should be a little warmer.
Phoebe Lynch. BBC. Radio Sussex.
Rita Ora and Let You Love Me. So our first upload tonight comes from Flora Ogilvy, and Flora's currently living at home with her parents in Stedham near Midhurst. And on Flora, she says she had her heart broken a week before we went into lockdown and wrote a poem about that you're going to hear later, and it's a poem what she's going through right now, and her friends told her that the poems brought them comfort, so Flora thought she'd share the sentiment that it's okay to be sad in some times. What a time to be going through this. Come on. So here it is. This is called Let Me Be Sad.
Upload. Get yourself on the BBC. Go to bbc.com.
Let Me Be Sad, written and performed by Flora Ogilvy. Fantastic was that. That was totally mesmerizing. Wow. Flora's an actress and voice artist and is currently in lockdown with her family here in Sussex. She told us that she started writing a lot over the past few weeks. Honestly, Flora, I'm blown away by that. I just thought that was incredible. Are you writing more over the past few weeks? If so, share what you're doing with us. Head over to bbc.co.uk/upload and send your stuff to us and we could feature it here on the BBC. SWV and Right Here. So it's time for some comedy now, courtesy of BBC Upload. Gemma Wimshurst is a comedy writer and performer who lives in Haywards Heath, and she creates humorous content about life, travel and LGBTQ+ culture. She sent us this sketch called Things I Now Have Time to Do Thanks to Coronavirus. That's Jenna Wimshurst with her comedy sketch, Things I Now Have Time to Do Thanks to Coronavirus. You can find Jenna on Twitter. Her username is @Jenna_Wims, W-I-M-S. I love that. Are you writing sketches? Are you making comedy? Perhaps you're an aspiring comedian. Upload your stuff and it could be featured on BBC. Just record it and head to bbc.co.uk/upload to find out more. Maroon 5 and This Love. So our final upload of this evening is a musical one. It was sent in by Andy Lewis of the Oxted Band. And they're a local amateur brass band that have been going since 1901. No, I don't remember the first gig. And before the coronavirus outbreak, they would do loads of events all over Surrey. And 24 of the band have recorded a rendition of, oh, I love this track, of Pharrell Williams' song Happy while in isolation. And this is the result. Oh, I really love that. That was the Oxted Band with their version of Happy by Pharrell Williams, which they recorded while in isolation. If you want to find out more about the band, you can find them online at oxtedband.co.uk. Are you making any music in isolation? How are you entertaining yourself? Don't say it. Do you have a band with more than 24 people? Come on. Why not send us what you're making? Head over to bbc.co.uk/upload for all the details. It's nearly the end of the show. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. I've had such a laugh. I really hope you've enjoyed it too. It was so nice for me to hear Pete. I haven't spoken to Pete for such a long time. And Kate was brilliant. And Tony was brilliant. And the letters of love is such a nice idea. And I'm really going to do it. I wonder who Tony will pair me up with. Hopefully someone who won't be offended easily. please join us next week. We'll have another great show for you. It's going to be 8 till 10pm again next week on BBC Radio Sussex and BBC Radio Surrey. In the meantime, stay safe, take care, and yeah, see you next week.